sorry, but I couldn't tell you.
You're one of them?
No. I'm from a different place. I took this form so I could walk among you.
You should have told me.
I didn't know if I could heal this body. If I would wake up.
Welcome to Exposition Street, celebrating geek movies in all their splendiferous glory, and a presentation of Prismatic Tsunami. My name is Eric. Thank you very much for joining us for this episode 63 of our Prismatic film cast. Very happy to be here. If you would like to add anything to our show, propose a movie perhaps that you'd like us to watch and cuss and discuss a little bit, at least when it's an R-rated film, go ahead and drop us a line, feedback@prismatictsunami.com, or drop by our Discord server and let us know what you think. We're going to go ahead and get things started for this particular episode by introducing the cast. Over here, his first clue that you're not in the real world anymore should have been a town called Absolution. It's Richard.
Yeehaw, pew pew.
Your excitement is palpable, sir. I know. I saw you take the cowboy hat off and throw it in the garbage disposal. I figured that was a positive.
Don't tell my roommate it's his hat.
No chance of that. This is what happens when you insist on telling the GM that your character has amnesia, so you didn't bother writing a backstory. It's Vanessa.
Who writes backstories?
That's why I picked you. So it's her fault the GM switched entire genres while no one was freaking looking. It's Jason.
I'm not a her.
No, it's Vanessa's fault.
Oh, so it's her fault. Okay. Okay.
I thought I wrote that very well. Where have you been, sir?
You did write it well.
He's still looking into the light. It's the kid.
Hey, I like the light.
And the light likes you.
You know, like a mob. I have been waiting for years for the follow-up to this movie, Indians and Robots, and it still hasn't happened.
And it probably never will.
I don't think it's likely to work out. And not to mention, that's, you know, there's a lot of trouble with that idea in 2022. You know,
it's 2022. Yeah, that's not happening.
To be fair, this movie itself would have had problems in 2022. So yeah.
That's fair. That's absolutely fair. Cowboys and Aliens is what we're doing. July 29th, 2011 is when it actually dropped. So it's been, you know, 11 years. I did not realize it was even that old when I recommended it, actually. Boy, how time freaking flies in the theatrical sense.
I saw this one in theaters.
Did you? Me too. Yeah. Excellent. My wife and I went to see this, and we walked out going, that was far better than it had any right to be. We had no expectations going in. None whatsoever.
You go
to a movie called, and they were met, right?
I expected cowboys and I expected aliens, and by God.
And that's the problem. If you went in expecting anything else, you were sorely disappointed.
Sorely disappointed.
It actually went to number one at the box office opening weekend with $36.4 million. And on a July weekend, no less. Number two that weekend, however, was the Smurfs with $35.6 million. So, I mean, it was barely behind it. It was rated PG-13, runtime of 1 hour and 59 minutes. A spaceship arrived in Arizona, 1873, to take over the Earth, starting with the Wild West region. A posse of cowboys and natives are all that stand in their way. Terrible description, but kind of spot on.
Terrible and yet accurate.
Cowboys and aliens.
Semi-accurate.
You know, so right off the top, I got to say, I recommended this movie for two very important reasons. One, I enjoy the shit out of this film. But, you know, that's me. Two, because I knew there was no way everybody at this table was going to enjoy the shit out of this film. So I would be surprised. I would not be terribly surprised if I was the only one. But I think I know the kid liked it, at least before this viewing, so. There's that. It was directed by Jon Favreau, who I admire deeply at this point. This man started his directorial career with Elf, which I never seen, never wanted to see, but was, of course, a very successful movie. For none of the reasons I'm interested.
If you feel like gouging your eyes out and wasting an hour and a half of your time, yeah.
I occasionally do, but then I come to my senses.
I've seen that movie more times than I care to count, and none of them were by choice.
Jason, was that sigh indicative of something?
Oh, I just curious. She has the greatest way of putting disses sometimes, and they just.
That was pure admiration. Huh?
Yeah, that was respect for the craft.
Elf, hats off to you, lady.
You did not score the craft very well. I have the points right here.
He also directed Zathura. His career got better, I promise. And then he did Iron Man.
Yeah.
Iron Man 1, Iron Man 2. This is the guy that, because of the mileage of Iron Man, he also played Happy Hogan in the Marvel movies, who's like Tony Stark's driver, bodyguard. Yeah.
I mostly remember him from the Spider-Man movies, actually.
Yeah. Because he plays a pretty dynamic role.
Yeah, much, much more active role in those.
But I like him. I like him I think he's fun as an actor. I think he's fine, but I think he's a wonderful director. I've enjoyed those movies.
I forgot Zathura even got a movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Cass, compared to what? Did it start as something else? Do I need to know?
Zathura is a sequel book to Jumanji.
That's ironic, considering the movie appears to be like a restructure of Jumanji for no reason whatsoever.
The book is bundled with Jumanji
in space.
That was the impression I got. It's like, yeah. It was the same writer. It was like, I didn't have another idea.
It is the same writer, the same everything. It was even in the same print. Like, you flip the book over, you have Zathura.
Dude, that book was easy to write. He didn't have to work very hard at it. He just had to change some names and shift around some sentences. Yeah, we're going to change rhinos out for, whatever. Stampede of Meteors? I don't know. I never actually watched all those. I got bored with it. I'm sorry to say. I love Jumanji. Don't get me wrong. But the fact that it felt so unoriginal made it really hard.
I've read the book for Zathura. I didn't know that there was a movie because there's Jumanji.
John has also, won himself some really serious points with Disney at this point. He created the Mandalorian TV show.
He's a principal, him a brownie or two.
Principal writer for Mandalorian and for the Book of Boba Fett. Very involved with all that. Written by, and this is, and so here's something before I really get into this, because I just sat there and, stroked Jon Favreau for a minute. The rest of these credits are all going to be equally as ridiculous. This movie was star-studded both in front of and behind the camera.
Yes. Have you seen the list of people who were drafted for the project at one point and then didn't actually end up in it?
No, but I know that the project was in development hell for like 10 years.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't surprise me.
This does not surprise me.
It's amazing how many people almost were in this movie. People even I have heard of.
Written by Robert Orkheim. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but it's the way I've seen it. O-R-C-I. He was a writer on the first two Transformers movies, on all the Abrams Star Trek movies. He was a writer on Alias and Fringe. He did TV stuff for Abrams as well. And Damon Lindelof, who also worked with Abrams, was a writer on Star Trek Into Darkness. He wrote on Lost. He wrote World War Z. He was a writer on Prometheus. He wrote the Watchmen series, the TV series on HBO, which was fantastic. Alex?
Yes, it was.
Best thing that ever happened to the Watchmen.
So this movie suffered from too many cooks, hell.
Maybe.
Among others, yes.
The third name I'm about to mention actually really makes me feel that's probably true. That's Alex Kurtzman, because I think he's the definition of one too many cooks in most of the projects he's involved in. But that's just stuff I've read behind the scenes about him. I'm not going to badmouth him here, and he doesn't listen to the show, so, but he is responsible. He was a writer, his writing credits anyway. He wrote The Island. He was a writer for Transformers 1 and 2, for Star Trek 1 and 2, Alias, Fringe, all the new Star Trek shows. All the new Star Trek shows, by the way, he's got credit on. The Picard and Discovery and Strange New Worlds, all that, which are all amazing, but I don't think it's because of Alex. So, yeah, there you go. Music by Harry Gregson-Williams. Done a lot of recognizable stuff, but not good. I mean, the music is fine. I enjoyed it, actually. There are places where I really captured a little bit of the music. I really like that there. That's a nice swell. You know, it's swell. Yeah. It's there's a Western theme to everything, which makes it really easy. You know, you got kind of a starting platform.
See, the music to me was distracting.
He wrote music for the Shrek movies, Enemy of the State, all the Narnia movies, Kingdom of Heaven. He's got some pretty heavy credits. I thought the music was fine. But then again, you know, Westerns have their own motif. And there's a lot of that here. And music is very important. Very important to it. Starring Mr. Daniel Craig as Jake Lonergan. And this is one of those, is like, he wasn't like the first person that was going to be cast in this role. I know I've got some trivia on that somewhere, but I was kind of looking at where he was in his career, because I didn't really get a feel for Daniel Craig until he played 007. He was cast as James Bond. I know I'd seen him in some stuff before that, but I couldn't tell you what it was. Now, this movie came out in 2011. A couple years before this was Quantum of Solace, one of the Bond movies. A couple years after it was Skyfall. The Golden Compass was in 07. He was in that. There's just, he played, I think, the dad.
Oh, he was in the Golden Compass. Yeah. He played Asriel.
And you know, he's fine. And I like him. I like him as an actor. I like him as 007. He's not my favorite Bond. Everybody's got their favorite Bond if you like Bond. He's not mine, but I like him just fine. He's a little edgier, you know. But I think he's got a great, you know, sense of presence and, you know, so much gravitas. And then they paired him with Harrison Ford.
To be fair, I think they played well off of
each other. Oh, they did. And Harrison Ford chewed the freaking scenery so well on this. It's like, oh, I'm playing a villain? Let me make sure I crank it up to 11.
Let me be an asshole for the first half of the movie.
Played Woodrow Dollarhide. His name was the very first thing that caught me. Like, you've got to be kidding. That is so good. His career wasn't doing a lot at this point. I mean, he didn't have to, of course. He was in Crystal Skull in 08. Ender's Game was in 2013. Nothing else like Between was really remarkable to me.
Oh, Crystal Skull. At least this was a step up.
Most things are.
I liked Crystal Skull.
You know, if it hadn't been an Indiana Jones movie, I might have been okay with it.
To be fair, I hadn't seen any of the other Indiana Jones movies in over a decade before that, so I wasn't able to make the comparison.
I suppose that's fair.
And I still haven't seen any of the older ones since I saw Crystal Skull, so it works.
And but the fun doesn't stop there.
I can't completely bag anything that Harrison Ford
They're working on Indy 5, so I think it's going to be out next year or the year after.
I'll believe it when I see it.
And Olivia Wilde. Played Ella Swinson. I always like, I have kind of a love-hate relationship with Olivia Wilde. I mean, she's hot. Yeah. But
I don't think she's attractive. Her face is weirdly symmetrical, and that throws me off.
But her face is weird. There is something odd there. And I don't know if it's the eyes, or maybe you're right, maybe it is the symmetry. In like standards, historical standards of beauty, a lot of symmetry was what, you know, created the standard. You know, the more symmetrical a face was, the more, and then that's
that,
not the case anymore.
Flaw is better.
But I mean, she is definitely striking, and I can't decide if she's a good actress or not. I really can't.
I felt like she was a good choice to play the off alien, because she really kind of made her part feel like an off alien.
To be fair, the first half of the movie, I'm like, she feels like an alien in the midst. And then she revealed, I was like, oh yeah, I remember this now.
I'd forgotten it too, actually. Around this time, she played Quora in Tron Legacy. She was on House during this period, though, so she didn't have a lot of movie going on. She was on House for 4 or 5 years. And she was great on there, too. But like, you look at stuff like she played, God, who did she play? She was in one of the X-Men movies. Was she playing Psylocke? I don't know. It just wasn't a flattering choice for some reason. I may be thinking of somebody else too.
I don't know about X-Men. I know she was in The Lazarus Effect. That was a weird role also.
Anyway, But I got to mention, you know, third billing here. Sam Rockwell, who is like way down on the cast list, but I moved up to this position because Sam's one of my favorite actors.
I love Sam.
And this was a fun role. Have we had him on the show? Surely we've had him on the show. Maybe we haven't.
I thought we did. Are we talking about
He was in Matchstick Men, Hitchhiker's Guide, the years leading up to this moon.
I know we've talked about him.
He'd worked with John Favreau in Iron Man 2, and then they did this one next.
What are we discussing?
Sam Rockwell.
The doctor.
The doc.
Yeah. Okay.
The bar owner.
Sam Rockwell is 95% of the cast of the movie Moon.
That's the big ones.
Clancy Brown.
I put some notable mentions in here. Right. Clancy Brown was fantastic in this as the preacher, Meacham. And, of course, we have just saw him last week in Highlander. We've seen him in Starship Troopers, but he has this enormous career. I mean, I'm not even bothering to swim through his IMDb page to look at stuff because it just doesn't matter. Shortly before, like a year before this, Nightmare on Elm Street came out and he was in that, the remake. So it's like, that's one of his listed as one of his more notable roles. And I'm like, really? Come on, guys. But then again, you look at his more notable roles and they always somehow miss the Kurgan, which was like, that's weird. It was one of his first roles. So I was like, very notable and very dynamic.
It's okay, because we recently watched it. All I was thinking every time he had a scene is, oh, look, it's the Kurgan.
And Abigail Spencer was in the cast as Alice, the girl who was dead. His lady. And I didn't recognize her from anywhere specific at first. I was like, God, she looks familiar. And it turns out it's because she was on a TV show I watched. Because she was in Oz the Great and Powerful, but I mean, she was Aunt May, so it wasn't like a big role. And we haven't done that. We're talking about doing that one on the show at some point, because that'd be a fun one. It's a kind of a disaster. And a fun disaster. I loved it. But she was Lucy Preston in the Timeless TV show. The ABC series went for like 2 seasons. And I thought she was fantastic in that. She was kind of the lead.
I forgot about that show.
Yeah, she was good. And a little older than one. And then Noah Ringer. I want to make sure to mention him.
I may have seen some of them.
Because he only ever had one other notable role.
Yes,
and then his terrible acting career ended because those two roles were enough to end his acting career. Go figure. You know what, though? He couldn't have known, right?
It wasn't his fault. Shyamalan killed his acting career.
I was going to say, he got into a Shyamalan movie. I'm sure at the time it felt like it was a win, right?
Oh, yeah.
By the way, guys, if you don't know, he played Aang in The Last Airbender.
Only it wasn't pronounced that way in the movie. It was Aang, which probably was like the last nail in the gasket.
No, I don't know. I have to say I enjoyed that movie. Anyway, moving on.
As an original fan of the show and going into the movie, it wasn't the right direction to approach that one. If I'd seen the movie first, I probably would have liked it.
Well, a lot of people just didn't like it because the tone of the movie was nothing like the TV series, obviously.
Exactly.
It was serious.
If I'd seen the movie before the show, it would have been fine.
It was serious and it was kind of dark and I thought it was very cool. But
it completely changed all the characters that I liked and changed the characters that I didn't like.
I'm having this conversation with Vanessa for all you other people on the cast. Now that I've actually watched some Airbender, I need to go back and watch the movie again and just see how bad that is. But I've actually watched a couple seasons of the show now. And I love the hell out of the show. It's really fun.
Oh, no, the show's a blast.
Looking forward to checking
out. I think Jason's seen it, too.
Doing that role-playing game.
Yeah, actually, the movie was so enjoyable that I went and found the show.
And there you go.
Watched the show and realized how bad the movie was compared to the show.
How bad an adaptation it was at the very least.
But if it wasn't for the movie, I never would have watched the show.
Now, interestingly enough, one of the things that movie suffered from, and it's timely to this movie, is that they retrofitted 3D stuff into it. So when you went to the theater and watched, they added 3D stuff, and it really only came through in a few effects shots and stuff. It was completely unnecessary, but it was after Avatar. And it came out right after Avatar. There was all this pressure from the studio.
Yeah.
For big action movies and special effects movies, especially. Got to make it 3D, you know? It was such a big deal. And like, why are
that
you
would
guys
be completely unnecessary
trying to compete
for that movie.
With this? It was not necessary. And this one, John was under a lot of pressure to go 3D on this one because it's a big effects movie. And he's like, no, that's Westerns should be shot on
the
film.
Western. You know? We only had two dimensions in the 1800s.
Right. We're lucky it's in color. And I did want to mention Keith Carradine. I mean,
yes!
he hasn't done a ton over the years. That's important to me. I mean, he was Special Agent Frank Lundy in Dexter.
And that's what I recognized him from.
He was great in Dexter. And he's a regular on Fear the Walking Dead. So a lot of like modern audience knows him. I've never actually watched that show.
Really? I need to watch more of that show.
But he played Sheriff Taggart in this. And I thought the sheriff was a cool role. Not didn't have a lot of screen time, but he was a cool character.
He was like the best character.
Box office budget, $163 million. Opening weekend, it made $36 million, grossed $100 million in the U.S., $174 million worldwide. It was a box office bomb. And, of course, did not earn a sequel, consequently. So.
I'm not sure how you would sequel this one.
Well, I don't know. Yeah.
Indians and Robots.
It really shouldn't be. It really shouldn't. Indians and Robots. This was... directed by Jon Favreau in 2011, produced by Steven Spielberg and Ron Howard, starred Harrison Ford and Daniel Craig and Sam Rockwell, set in the Wild West, based on a popular graphic novel,
ooh,
and still they couldn't get it right. They couldn't reach their audience, obviously.
I actually have a little tidbit on that I found out today while I was doing my research.
Yeah,
because I always knew this was based on the graphic novel, Cowboys and Aliens. What I didn't know is that the Cowboys and Aliens graphic novel was actually adapted from what was intended to be the screenplay for the original draft of this movie.
Oh, that's awesome. The writers who had the original idea couldn't get it to fly, so they went to a comic book.
That's interesting. And
then the comic Hollywood book always adapts comic books.
Turned back into the movie.
Yeah, what a great way to get their movie made, right?
It's hilarious.
Turn your book into a comic book.
That's fantastic. Robert Downey Jr. was set to play Zeke Jackson, a former Union Army gunslinger, quote unquote, but dropped out due to scheduling conflicts. Within about a month, the character was renamed Jake Lonergan and rewritten to be an outlaw. And of course, Daniel Craig was cast in the role. That would have been different. Downey would have been fine, but this was following the Iron Man success. So of course, John was like looking to maybe bank on that star power right there, because it wasn't just after the first Iron Man movie, it was after the second one, and the MCU was really getting ready to take off. But I think I kind of didn't necessarily need RDJ in this. I was okay with Daniel Craig, though. I liked his performance. Whatever. I didn't think the character required much.
Jake's character.
Yeah. Daniel Craig had the right broodiness to it.
And the quiet. Now, this movie was not imminently clippable. I did not get a lot of great clips because there's not a lot of freaking dialogue. And for once, it's not just because of all the action. There's plenty of action. A lot of that. A lot of noise. A lot of music. A lot of stuff eating up the audio scenery, if you will. But not a lot of talky-talky to really clip. I mean, I did get some of the good stuff. But
there's a lot of riding around on the backs of horses.
Oh, what do you think that? Why did they do that? So weird. You think it was a Western? So I really want to ask, because I know we could wait till the end of the show to get some reads on stuff, and you guys are welcome to, you know, refuse to talk about it until then if you want to. I'm down with that. I get where you're coming from. But Rich, traditionally speaking, you rather despise Westerns as a rule.
It's not really a matter of despising. It's just not my jam.
I'm curious.
The style, the music, the plot, the theme.
I know you dreaded this a little. I mean, you obviously were. I mean, you could have vetoed the show if it was really that bad.
The portrayal of Native Americans.
That is a huge freaking problem. The portrayal of heroic cowboys being ones who have, you know, how many Indians have you killed, you know? That was actually one of my favorite themes in this, is that Woodrow was so racist about it, and that over the course of this movie, he came to respect the Apache chief, you know? fellow
and
warrior.
Actually, yes. Respected Nat by the end of it, which was nice.
Unbelievable arc. That's nice. Yes.
Yeah, but Harrison Ford can pull it off. I'm down.
Harrison Ford did a great job at portraying the role.
I think he was really, really well cast for somebody who starts as a very largely unlikable villainy guy. I know we're not traditionally ready to jump into clips this early or anything.
I did not fall asleep during this movie, which is not something I can say about the three times I tried watching Tombstone.
I got a great intro for the character when I get to clips, though. I got some good stuff. Tombstone. You had trouble with Tombstone. Never mind.
Oh, yeah, Westerns, I fell asleep all three times I tried.
We add aliens and it gets better, I guess. I'd love Tombstone.
Not really. Yeah. I wouldn't say that.
Kept you awake, though.
I didn't remember the aliens taking that long to be, relevant.
Daniel Craig, Sam Rockwell, and Harrison Ford kept me awake. Also kept taking me out of the movie.
I think a really important thing they did in this film is they did not put off any sense of because you get this a lot now. We see this in these genre switching films and stuff. It's like an auteur thing, right? We start off one way. We talked about this on Something Wild because it was a little ahead of its time. You start off one way and then somewhere in the middle of the movie, you just suddenly kind of flip the script utterly. And it's a whole different movie from there on out.
Yeah.
You know, and we're seeing more of this stuff going on right now. I mean, I've seen ads for movies that are like, these people will go out into the countryside to film a porno. And then, you know, aliens or Eldritch Horror or something shows up and change. So like half, you know, for like a third of the movie, it seems to be one thing. And then boom, it's completely different. That's a thing now, right?
Welcome to half of the horror movies that are coming out.
Yeah,
if not more.
I don't like it. I mean, I respect it, but I think we're done. I want something original now.
It's anyway, like a cheap shot at this point.
But I'm glad they didn't go that route with this. From the very opening sequence, the opening scene was really well done. It established so much so fast. But with the thing on his wrist, that was clearly some weird technology. It really kind of, you know, it really kind of sets you up for a thing. And not just the title of the movie, guys. Things are going to be different.
Well, at the first shots, I was like, is that some sort of weird manacle? And then I was like, no, that's something else. And then as he began to explore it, we began to explore it. I did like the progression of the artifact.
And with his amnesia and everything, it's like you don't have to know anything on him because he doesn't negate. So he's got to learn it all as he goes, too. That was kind of cute.
Yeah, actually, when we finally got the scene, the memory of how he got the thing on his arm in the first place, it kind of spoiled it for me a little bit because it was kind of, I don't know, just less than I was expecting, I guess. It seemed too accidental.
Yeah,
the flashback became impetus for a callback later, and that was really awesome, I thought.
Yeah.
As far as writing goes.
That was pretty well done.
Because you go flashback to that scene to identify where the piece came from, and in the future we get a callback when he meets the alien again in the same lab.
And like I said, I mean, enjoy the movie or not, the writers, the guys that worked on this movie, they're top-notch talent in the field. I mean,
it was well
for a reason. I really feel like it came together. Maybe a little clunky in places, but it came together with really good writing in all the parts where it mattered.
There was one thing that annoyed me about the writing. When he gets his memory back, you find out that his significant other was vaporized or whatever, and he's still motivated to go save people, even though the one person that he should actually get that motivation from is not there. He has no attachment to anyone in the town. Why would he
care? I don't think he's motivated to save people like some sort of sudden hero. I think he is motivated to punish the creatures that did this, personally.
Okay, I buy that.
He's so stoic, you can't really get a feel one way or the other. You know, he doesn't look like he's driven by rage or something. But in the end, you know, he's also doing the right thing, so there's that combination of elements, right? He's kind of an anti-hero anyway, because he was a crook, you know, he was a criminal.
I enjoyed his arc.
He was a criminal that backstabbed his fellow criminals.
Yeah, well, and that he forgot that he was a bad guy, right? So it makes sense. That
doesn't make him a good guy.
Is that what you said, Jason? He forgot he was a bad guy?
Yeah, that's what I said. He forgot he was a bad guy. And one of the first interactions that he had was Preacher Clancy.
which was good. I thought the repartee and the kind of the opening, as long as I'm going to freaking talk about it, here it is.
All right. Turn around. Nice and slow.
I've been shot.
Only two kinds of men get shot. Criminals and victims. Well, which one are you?
I don't know.
You got a name, friend?
I don't know that either.
Just what do you know?
English.
Loved it. Great interaction. Really great setup for the characters. And then right after English, right after he said that, you pretty much switched to him helping him, you know, doing the kind of doctoring, I guess. He wasn't, pouring alcohol on his wound or whatever.
Stitched
him up.
Yeah. Close enough, right?
And that's the scene where we find out he's the preacher.
Right. Because a lot of his lines in the movie orient that way, at least with that certain, even if it isn't all like scripture or something, it's all, you know, wisdom and such. He's such a great character in this story.
He's a prophetic character.
It was really, if his death in the middle of the film was actually one of the couple of moments that I found really, really, you know, really grabs you a little bit in the chest.
Some real pathos, yeah.
Good word. Thank you. This seemed like a very political movie to you guys. I mean, it's got its kind of edge there. I mean, people in the Wild West being exterminated, driven off their land by foreign technologically superior invaders who are there for the gold.
You could theme it to political, but I don't think it's a political movie.
Yeah, I didn't really get the read from it. You know, it's underplayed,
you could push
underplayed,
the theme on it, but that's not, it's not there.
I wonder if it was supposed to be like part of the scripting was, and it got downplayed.
It is a lot more prominent in the graphic novel. The movie diverges wildly in that regard.
Okay. So you've read some of the graphic novel?
Yeah.
Comic stuff? Excellent. I mean, with the Apache showing up halfway through the movie, it was like, or a little more than halfway through the movie, I guess. I mean, it really kind of, I thought it made the contrast pretty obvious. But since they were focusing more on Woodrow's distrust of the Native Americans and all the, you know, the baggage that he carried because of that, it wasn't an issue. You know, it wasn't an element that came up. But there is that thing right there. I mean, the aliens are coming in and they're threatening to invade and drive us off our land or whatever it is. They're taking our gold. I don't know. I just thought
the gold that they didn't realize was there.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks to the aliens, they do.
Yeah.
Dollar Hyde, Lonergan, and Taggart are all named after movie villains from Red Dragon, The Sting, and Blazing Saddles, respectively.
I knew the name sounded familiar.
That's about all the trivia I've got. So I guess to finish my question to you, Rich, did you have any expectation going into this? I mean, other than the obvious?
I expected a Western with aliens. I was told it was more sci-fi than Western. Was what I expected.
In my brain, to be honest, it felt like I remembered it a little more sci-fi, but obviously set in a Western environment, so you can't take that out of it. But this time I'm watching it, and it feels like the filmmaker was making a Western.
Yeah.
It was
definitely shot as a Western, and if you're not paying attention to that from the point of someone who, for some reason, does not get Westerns, I get why people get Westerns. If I pick up a Louis L'Amour book, it is going to be to hit a spider and nothing else.
That's fair.
That's legit, man. Well, I've never been a fond of reading Westerns. I'll give you that. I don't have it in me. But there's something always been about, when I was young, I didn't particularly care much, but my dad watched a lot of John Wayne and stuff. He was, you know.
My parents did too.
Kidding. I had that in common too.
Yep.
You know, saw a lot of that when you're young. Those kinds of Westerns and spaghetti Westerns, Clint Eastwood stuff, that stuff never grabbed me. It wasn't until like Young Guns, I think, in the 80s, where we had Westerns start to be made. They had like more modern sort of cinematography, photography. You know, the construct of it felt, the story was good, the character acting was better. you know, that was an ensemble movie, you know, that I really started taking interest in. I liked all the stylistic elements at that level.
You know? I'll also put it this way. I don't read a lot of books because I have problems reading some authors, and it's a me thing. I'm not a big reader. One of my favorite authors whom I've read the most books of, other than Michael Crichton, was Walter John Williams. The second book of his I picked up, he writes a lot of different styles of books, and mm-hmm. the second one I picked up was actually a Western. I never made it into the third chapter. I tried to read that book 3 times, and I could not. I just couldn't focus in on it. I've read others of his books multiple times.
Western is such a, I mean, of course, as a genre, it took on its own life, but it's such a broad kind of flavor that we've seen explored in various ways in different genres. When Roddenberry was working on Star Trek, he called it Wagon Train in Space.
And I get that. I can even see that.
Yeah. I think, you take the trappings away and it gets more accessible. Because I'm not, you know, I'm not glued to the motif at all. The American West didn't interest me much as a kid. And I mean, I think as an adult, I have more interest in history now. So, I mean, it's a little different. But American history isn't particularly glamorous, so. Hard to romanticize the Old West, but I get why
people still do.
You know, I understand why people do. And even as recently as when we were kids, we still did. You know, kids, I grew up in the 80s, kids played cowboys and Indians still. I mean, it was a thing, you know, that was heroes. That was, you know, the cap guns. Remember the cap guns and stuff?
I mean, yep. And I can't tell you how many times I visited Boot Hill. They still
had cap guns when I was a kid. It didn't end with your era.
I was including all of us. I'm kind of pointing out that it's probably less likely to be the case now.
That's fair.
You know, I realize that none of you are parent. Well, kid is about, I mean, you haven't really, I've got a teenage son, but he's never had any interest in that kind of stuff. So I wouldn't have known one way or the other. You know, if it wasn't a transformer or a dinosaur, I wouldn't know. But I don't think that's been glorified the same in the modern age, of course, because there was so much inherent classism and racism that bled into everything at the time. And it makes it very hard to glorify it the same way. But romanticizing the Old West is fine. And there's elements of it that, I like I said, I think we see in other ways. Star Wars has a little bit of Western feel to it. The Mandalorian is a really strong Western theme to it. Again, Jon Favreau directing it, so big surprise.
Are we really not going to mention Firefly here?
God, it's so hard to talk about Whedon now. The Jossness of the last 15, 20 years, you know, it's like.
To be fair, Firefly is Wild West in space.
Yeah, well, I also don't like bringing it up because Jason turns colors.
I don't turn colors.
I just don't turn
brown coat.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Weirdo.
Yeah. Tell us how you really feel. You're being a little quiet, Jay. Do you not know when to jump in? Are we not giving you room because we're not seeing you, so we don't know when you're opening your mouth to talk? Or?
Oh, no. I have stayed purposefully silent throughout all this conversation.
Oh, dear.
I'm scared.
Now I'm worried.
Mainly, it's one or the other of you have said everything that I would want to say, and I don't feel that just mirror echoing everything is purposeful.
I get that.
That's fair.
There's plenty of style and substance here, but the substance is very specific, so it's limited, and the style is very broad and kind of weird. So really, everything there is to say is pretty easy to get out in a couple of paragraphs that we've already touched on. Overall, probably. That was my highly intellectual way of saying I'm pulling clips.
You too.
Percy.
You want to be careful where you point that thing before you get hurt.
Listen, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt because maybe you don't know who I am.
Oh. Wait for it. Oh. Wait. there's another that I didn't even catch. Yeah, that was great. You talk about a character is introduced for no reason other than for you to hate. I mean, almost no reason. The end gives him that little bit of quasi-redemption arc because he isn't himself anymore, but he's like grown up because of it.
He had a reason. He wasn't just there for you to hate. He was there to give Dollar Hyde a reason to do something other than be a hateful dick.
He was the golden briefcase. Yeah, I get it.
He was the son that was expected to do well and went and became everything he shouldn't be, as opposed to the not really the son who wasn't expected to achieve anything and became the great son.
He's not a character. He's a trope.
It's a Western.
There we go.
That's true. I mean, and most of the characters are tropes, but some of them are also characters. That is not true of Percy.
Percy is very much the spoiled rich kid.
Every scene that he was in up to the point that he got abducted was basically the same. And the best part about that was I could have captured like at least two or three scenes of him saying something jeery, obnoxious, and stupid like every bully tries to, and getting the shit summarily beat out of him by Jake Lonegan. I think that's a great trope right there. As the audience, it's very satisfying.
Makes me smile.
Yeah, I did love Give Me Your Hand.
It's like, give me your hand. Let me launch you into the prison bars to knock you out.
Yeah, why did he stand that close? What a...
Because he was a moron.
Entitled spoiled brat.
You know, it's funny because they wrote so many great characters kind of into this. You know, it kind of snuck great characters in. Nat and Doc, you know, Meacham. Little less so with Meacham because he was pretty, since you met him early on and kind of got done. Doc had great scenes and great dialogue, but his character is so understated. But he has one of these characters also have some of the most awesome moments in the movie, if you know what I mean. You know, with Doc's, it's like he won't even touch a gun. And then like at the end of the movie, he like gets the killing blow on one of those things. He like suddenly becomes really good. What a great moment. It was freaking awesome. Yeah, he was practicing as he learned. Yeah, and it showed.
They tried to ensemble more of this movie than they should have, and it made it have a weird cadence in some parts. Doc was some of the weird cadence.
It did, but it didn't bury the characters the way I would have expected it to. Yeah, Nat, you kind of got a feel for Nat. You got a feel for Doc. You know, some of the others, like there were. I noticed in the cast, I didn't mention them because I couldn't remember who the characters were. But there were like three brothers that looked like who played three brothers.
Yeah.
Taylor, their names were Taylor, Bucky and somebody else, Taylor, Buck Taylor, or somebody else.
Yeah, you got me curious.
Yeah, and they played their characters all had the same last name, too. I was like, that's brilliant.
Maybe it was the three guys at the beginning.
No, that was two brothers and their dad.
Well, maybe that was it.
The same last name.
Yeah, same last name. Maybe it may have been two brothers and the dad. I don't know. Did they look that much alike? Okay, I got some Dollar Hyde for you guys. This is a little bit longer clip because it's Harrison Ford, and it was worth it. Here you go.
What kind of a man goes around blowing up other people's cows and tells a bullshit story like this? You couldn't do no better.
You couldn't believe it. There's white lights. There's bright lights.
So there was this big light, and you fell in the river. And when you come back, two of my best hands has just disappeared. There weren't no storm. There weren't no lightning this evening.
You don't respect me, do you, Roy?
Boss, where's Percy?
Taggart locked him up, boss.
Why? What did he do now?
Shot a deputy.
God damn it. What the hell does Taggart think he's doing? He wouldn't even have a job if I... Now I gotta go in there and reason with him, because you failed to look after my boy.
All right, everybody saddle up. Boss, we ought to get more hands.
What?
You're not going to believe this, but I think Jake Lonergan's in town.
And that's where we learn that other people know who he is, even if he doesn't. Good stuff.
That was a great scene. That really was, all the way around.
And I cut out a little bit in the middle there with the more screaming from the guy he was tormenting, and I ended up cutting out the part where he, like, cuts him loose, and, oh, thank you, then he, like, yeah, and the horse takes off, drags him off or something. But, I mean, great villainy. And I think I think there's something really interesting to me about Harrison Ford. doing this old West cowboy thing. I can't think of if I've ever seen him in a Western before or Western genre or motif at all. You know what I mean? He does it so naturally. It felt very natural. And only Harrison Ford can chew up lines like, you know, where he interrupts himself in the middle and says something different and make it feel so organic.
No, I gotta go reason with him.
Yeah. What the hell? He wouldn't even have a job if I... Now I gotta go. Yeah, exactly. It's like, just if is that the way it looked on the line? It wouldn't have had a job if I dash. Next line. No idea if that's how it looked in the script. But he's so good at it. You owe me.
It's the same direction those machines went with our kin. He's gonna be able to track it in the dark.
Round up the horses, get some supplies. We'll set off first light.
You're going with us. I need that weapon. It's the only thing that counts. I figure you owe me. I don't see it that way.
Yeah. I love their confrontations. They were so bitter, so good. I got to tell you guys, this is a movie I'm glad I saw in the theater because it surprised me. And that alien invasion in the town, even though you knew something was coming, something was going to happen, when they hit the town, it was dramatic. It hit. And so that tension that they were feeling in that scene when he was like, round up the guys, we're going to go out, that tension stayed with you through that part. You know, it's like that. You really feel it. I don't know so much when I'm sitting here watching it with my headphones on my little computer screen. It changes things a little bit. There you go. I got some sound effects for you because I just love some of the Foley stuff in here. So good. I want that guy. Make sound effects for my games. Let's see. Hold up.
Put your hands up in there. That means you too, pretty lady. This is what they call a hold up. Welcome, everybody.
And not catch this actor's name.
That is Walton Boss? Goggins.
Boss, is that you? Lonergan, what in the hell are you doing here? Is this your new gang, Jake? I never thought I'd see you again, Jake. You're always my favorite.
Shut up.
Music.
Damn it. Miss Jake, did you break my tooth?
Would you shut up? I'm thinking.
Just shut up. I'm thinking. Such a good
You
line.
Were always my favorite.
Do we know him from somewhere, kid?
Oh, I do. I had to look because I couldn't remember. But I knew him originally from Sons of Anarchy.
Oh.
However, the character that I kept trying to place him as, he was the convict in Predators.
Oh. What? Well. They were like all convicts, weren't they?
No, they were all they were all soldiers. There was one guy, death row inmate.
He was kind of an understated guy, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was kind of like a Hannibal Lecter type.
He was the big talking asshole to everyone. And he was one of my favorite characters in that movie. And he's one of my favorite characters in this movie.
Only person I remember in that movie is Adrian Brody. I barely remember the guy you're talking about. But yeah, good stuff. He was good in this. I love that character trope too. That the kind of whiny cowboy, kind of dumb. Flying. Oh yeah.
What was the actor's name?
Walton Goggins.
Goggins. Walton, you can look him up. Goggins.
He's been in some other stuff that I don't know, but I very much like him when I see him.
This one's short.
We were flying.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that again.
No.
Again, what a great sound effect. Dude, the creature jumped out of the water. Dude, were there any real jump scares in this that felt like jump scares? I'm just curious.
That felt like jump scares? No.
Okay.
Were there some that were probably supposed to be? Were there any that actually were?
There were some surprises. Really? I mean, I didn't feel like he shot them like that. And maybe that's because, again, there's a very specific tone and kind of genre feel they're going with. I know I was reading that like Spielberg screened The Searchers from like the 50s and like Close Encounters. Just wonder why he picked that one. For Robert Rocha and Jon Favreau, just so they get an atmosphere for the film. And, you know, I not really kind of jump scare horror kind of stuff there. So plenty of surprises, I guess, is the thing. Let's see what I got. Another World.
She says she came from a place above the stars.
What does that mean? Another world? What do you mean?
Duh.
What does that mean?
Oh,
another,
yeah.
Another what?
Says you shouldn't talk.
I mean, I shouldn't talk. I got questions.
Do you, Deda? You're a guest of the chief.
Now I'm a guest. I thought I was a prisoner. What
do
the hell?
Yeah,
all right, you're both big men, great warriors. Can we just listen to the woman tell her story or whatever she is? What are they doing here?
They want gold.
Well, that's just ridiculous. What are they going to do? Buy something?
It's as rare to them as it is to you. What about my grandpa?
What about my wife? What about the other people? Are they still alive?
If they are, they won't be for long. They're studying your weaknesses. These are just scouts. If we let them leave, they'll come back with more, and there will be no survivors. That's what they did to my people. I came here to make sure it would not happen again, but we have to work together.
I loved the fact that they laid out the stakes in such plain English here, but it was so late into the film they kind of had to. I think that's one of the things. Like, you don't necessarily know what we're dealing with. Not even in just the fact you haven't really gotten a good look at most of it, but you just don't really know what we're dealing with until you get to this point, and then she turns out to be some altruistic alien that wants to save our planet. Weird. Again, feels like maybe she wants to punish the bad guys. Only got a couple clips left. Let's see. Memory.
I can't remember anything. You know, I couldn't even remember my own name.
Ize Guli. Yeah. He says they will take care of that.
Loved it. I love the fact that they worked all that in. I mean, from the moment they did stuff like her walking out of the fire, which at first looked entirely mystical, and then it's like,
it did.
You know, turns out there's a explanation. And then like that whole thing, like there with the Vision Quest, which is, you know, so lovely that they included that, incorporated that into the story in what I felt was kind of a fun and meaningful way. And his memories were so important, so critical at that point. So it was again, a really, really clever story point. Because without it, there was no way forward, specifically. Otherwise, the...
Magical natives, yay.
Otherwise, the Apaches showing up like at the what felt a little like the 11th hour in the movie. It wasn't. And that's one of the things that got me. Got a little over halfway in this movie, and I thought, wow, we're almost done already? Oh, no, we weren't. Story kept going. The flying machines showed up, and that kind of changed everything again. And then the Native Americans, and yep, and then the invading the mountain. It's all good. Okay, I couldn't capture anything meaningful after that for the most part because, you know, after that it was like fights and yelling and shouting and blowing up and fights and blowing up and shouting and shooting and stabbing, and there was some great stabbing, you know.
Lots of scenes with lots of background noise.
Oh God, it was ridiculous though. I mean, there's nothing I could pull that would have been useful at all. So I got a couple clips from the end to kind of tie up the film. Checks.
Well, this gold's gonna make things different. I'm gonna have a railroad in here soon. That'll change the cattle business. Run these ledgers back to the bank for me, will you? Tell him I need some new checks.
Okay.
I want the new ones to read Dollarhide and some. Sound good to you?
Yes. Yes, sir.
A little payoff for Percy there, I guess. That was one of the problems. Like, you get to even the places where everybody came out of the mountain and we were all happy to see them and all that. So it's like, there wasn't really much I could pull that was interesting in the audio. at all.
Yeah.
Percy didn't deserve a redemption arc.
I did. That's
it wasn't
I felt
really
was
his.
Unearned.
It really wasn't his. It was his dad's. You know?
Yeah.
I think that's what you got to realize is right there, Woodrow did, in his way, deserve to have his redemption validated. You know, his
that's
coming
true,
around to being a better person.
But they completely changed who Percy was. No one else had a complete character shift.
Oh, we don't know what they all
the
went
aliens.
Through. We don't know what they went through. Because we didn't see any of the others after that, except for like the sheriff for a second. I mean,
I kind of feel right. like Lonergan had a complete character shift.
I do too. He forgot he was the bad guy.
Yeah, and that was the beginning of the
and
movie. It's how it starts.
So,
yeah. Good point.
But he's Percy still knew who he was after a reminder.
I'm not convinced of that. I kind of got the impression that they all had the amnesia like Jake did.
At least to one degree or another. That was the impression that they wanted to give you, I think. But they leave it to your own imagination to decide what that means.
I don't like that. It seems like a cheap shot.
Well,
I can see it, but I don't like it.
I would say things like, I don't like it because it isn't really a happy ending for those characters because they went through a transformation. They aren't the same person anymore or something like that. But I don't care, I guess, because they're not important to me as at the end of the story. I don't know. The sheriff still seems to be fine. I liked him. Whatever.
I did like Taggart.
Better place.
You weren't going to leave without saying goodbye, were you?
I'm a wanted man. Well, I could have sworn I saw Jake Lonergan die in those caves, didn't you, Sheriff?
Damn shame. I was looking forward to hanging him myself.
I could use a good man around here.
Yes, you could.
Jake? She's in a better place. See you around, Colonel.
Love the music there. Good stuff.
You got a life in school, Jimmy, really?
Oh. I think that's everything I got. You guys ready to do some of that other thing? The thing we do at the end of the show? That's the last half of the show.
Yeah. I'm all ready for the thumbs downs and thumbs downs.
Right.
You have to have at least one thumbs up. It's your rule.
Yeah, I know. I know it's my rule. Good luck.
Thumbs up, thumbs down. Rich, care to get us started?
Okay. I'm going to go backwards. I'm going to do my thumbs up first. I have three thumbs up. Daniel Craig was excellent at being Daniel Craigie. Harrison Ford was excellent at being Harrison Fordy, and the best of all, Sam Rockwell rocks at being Sam Rockwell-y. I don't know how much
that
played into the movie, but it did make it enjoyable to
Sam
watch
Rockwellian.
In that case.
Sam Rockwellian. I like that.
Do I look like an English major? I don't know. He rocks well. Anyway, without the S. Thumbs down. Maybe it's the 2022 in me. Maybe it's because I don't like cowboys and Indians to begin with. But some of the appropriations actually drove me nuts, got on my nerves. I even got where some of the cultural touchstones of the mythology stories were pulled from to make a magical experience to explain some weird stuff that the natives can bring into the story to help the cowboys. And I'm like, yeah, no. But maybe that's me. I get annoyed at some of that, which is weird because I'm usually pretty happy-go-lucky about the whole thing. I'm not a Western person. The actors were good. The actors were good enough that I kept thinking, wow, I really like the way this actor portrays this role, rather than, wow, I'm really engrossed in this role. So, just... It's an interesting story. I found it highly predictable. I didn't fall asleep. The actors were really good. The tropes were done nicely. The things were linked together well. I'm giving it 2 stars.
I do have to say it's predictable. The formulaic nature of the elements of the story were, I thought, pretty profound. I love the fact that when you do get the flashback to him when he escapes from the alien, that he gives it the scar across the face. Like, immediately you're like, oh yeah, he's gonna have to kill him at the end of the film.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, when he gave the kid that knife,
he's gonna have to to stab an alien.
Chekhov's knife. So he's gonna stab an alien. All right, got it.
Everybody was kind of Chekhov's everything. Yeah.
Everything was done great. I just was predictably done. Great.
That's cool. Vanessa, what do you got?
Very similar, but higher rating. my thumbs down is honestly Olivia Wilde. I did not like her character. It felt out of place and weirdly forced through the entire movie, right up until the last 5 minutes when she actually does something that does something. But really, that's my only, like, hard thumbs down. I think the story was well written. I think the characters interacted well together. They helped infuse meaning into the story. It visually was stunning. I remember seeing it in theaters, and I remember it being a lot less Wild Westy and more sci-fi, but that was also a decade ago, and my memory's weird.
It had big, big budget. It really should look good, obviously. Yeah,
but it looked fantastic.
And I don't think Spielberg and Ron Howard have ever produced anything that didn't. So,
that's,
I mean,
true.
Really, it was there, you know.
I wanted to punch Percy every single time he was on the screen, but I'm pretty sure that was on purpose.
And when he was off.
And when he was off the screen, I'm okay with that too. Nat got the redemption arc that he needed and the ending that he needed with Dollarhide. I just liked the story. I give it 4 stars.
Nice.
Wow, that's twice mine.
Yes, it is.
All right, Jason. I'm ready to hear what you have to say, sir. The audience is very ready to hear what you have to say.
Well, I am neither going to be the bad guy nor the savior of this film.
All right.
That's fair.
It was a Western. It had a few moments where it was a sci-fi movie, but it was a Western. And if you don't like Westerns, you're not going to like this film. I don't particularly like Westerns. I didn't particularly like this film.
That's fair.
That's not this movie's fault, though. That's my fault for not liking Westerns. I don't blame the movie for this. Kind of like the horror-y aspects of the movie that we did the other day, The Craft.
The Craft.
I don't like horror movies, but that wasn't the movie's fault. It didn't lose too many stars just because of that. I didn't just give it a 0 off the hook because I don't like that type of movie.
Different than when you're talking about a movie that does like the infrasound or something where the techniques of the movie making actually disturb you, cause you problems.
Right, exactly.
And then it's easy to see why you would say, no, I'm not giving that a star worth it. Really. You know, they could have done something different for people like me.
Well,
yeah, I get exactly what you're saying.
Even then, I don't blame the movies that use infrasound because it's a good trick that works on 99% of the population. Just the fact that I can't handle it. It's not their fault that I can't handle that. You know, it's like I don't want to take peanut M&Ms off the market just because I'm allergic. Watch your infrasound movies and get your scary kicks on. That's great. I'm not going to have them taken off the market just because I can't deal with them. I don't like horror Western movies. I don't like horror movies. I'm not having them taken off the market, but it's a thing.
That being said, did you expect different going into this because you knew it was kind of a mix?
I was hoping that it would be more sci-fi and less Western. It was not.
Which could have just been a question of tone. If they had, I mean, they could have the same story, the same content, but shot it with a different feel, different filters, different, you know, camera angles, different motion. It would have felt more like a modern sci-fi movie than it would a Western, obviously.
Different weight on the timing.
Yeah.
Different shift on focus. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of the pacing elements.
There was a lot of movie before we got to Aliens.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we had Aliens for a very little bit. And then there was chunks. A lot of movie. And then there was a little bit of Aliens. And then there was more movie. And then there were more characters that got introduced with an hour left in the movie. It's like, wait a second, where did these guys come from? I thought I met everybody in town. It just...
Yeah.
And then we met more people. We get an entire tribe of Native Americans joining the group. It's like, wait a second, where did these guys come from?
And the Outlaw Band. They came out of nowhere,
the
too.
The Outlaw Band was the first group of new characters.
Yeah, yeah.
They were first. Outlaw Band first, Indians second.
Crazy.
It's just so many new people, so late in the game, that I didn't like the way that it was necessarily put together, and it makes sense to me that there was like 5 studios and 10 writers and all of this other stuff going on. It felt disjointed. It felt like they were trying way too hard to do something. But it was shot very well. As Vanessa mentioned, it was pretty. As Rich mentioned, the 3 main actors did their main acting quite nicely. They all did the scripts justice for what they were. I'm going to give it a 3 because it's just a nice middle of the road. I don't regret watching this movie, but I'm not going to go back to it.
Do you think you would have enjoyed it in the theater? Like popcorn movie kind of quality?
Maybe, but maybe. It's still way too much of a Western. And
So you wouldn't have gone anyway.
I wouldn't have gone. Unless,
yeah, that's fair.
The only reason I would have gone is if the trailer... I'd have to watch the trailer and see if the trailer made it feel more like Aliens and Cowboys instead of Cowboys and Aliens.
I think it still would have been hard even then to take clips or sections from this and not make it feel Western. I think Jon Favreau was making a Western, and that's basically what you get through all of it anyway.
That's
Aliens,
exactly
right,
the case, actually. That's one of the things I found.
I actually remember seeing the trailer for this one, and the way that I picked up the trailer at the time was that it was more of a Cowboys versus Aliens, where it'd be more of an equal share based on the trailer. That's the only reason that I saw it in theaters in the first place.
Yeah. Which makes sense. I mean,
no,
you
might have gone
Cowboys
to see
and
it
Aliens
in the theater and then been disappointed with the lack of alienisms.
Too much cowboy.
By the way, speaking of isms, Harrison Ford had all the isms. There were lots of isms going around, and he was good at being a dirty, nasty man with all the isms.
That he was.
Kid, what do you think?
Well, I almost don't want to talk about it now, damn.
Oh, no.
No. A couple of high points. I touched briefly on Walton Goggins. I really enjoyed him for the brief scenes that he appeared in. Hunt was his character's name. He was a laugh. The other character that didn't get any mention, not even an honorable one, that absolutely made my day was the dog.
Oh, I forgot about the dog.
Didn't even have a name.
Yeah. He was just called Dog. And he was in the whole movie from the very opening to the very end.
Was he? Oh, yeah, yes. I guess he was, wasn't he?
Because he started as the dog of the 3 guys that Jake killed when he woke up.
Yeah.
And then he followed Jake, and then he kept changing who he was following because he kept getting left behind. One of the things that would have completely wrecked this movie for me was if they'd killed the dog, and I was just very happy to see him there at the end.
Cool.
My thumbs down. There's not a lot of it, but a lot of what is there falls in design decisions. I get that it's hard to make an original and cool seeming alien anymore because it's all been done, but these aliens were horribly, horribly thought up. No species that has to expose its heart in order to finally manipulate objects is going to survive to become a spacefaring species. I'm sorry. That's no.
Yeah.
The technology was kind of cool looking, but I had some
and different
on some of that. Yeah. And they did a good job in different.
I thought that was interesting. Yeah.
Their gold harvesting technology was actually really cool, completely impractical. Again, never actually would have happened like that, but it was really cool. And obviously that was the star that was guiding them, was give us something original seeming and cool. And they did that. So I put it in my thumbs down category because it kind of broke immersion for me, but I acknowledge that it was cool and well done. So it doesn't take a whole lot off the top for me. Overall, I've very much enjoyed this movie, the characters, the portrayals, the story, the stuff that matters most to me, it hit very solid on. I'm not a huge Western fan, but I like them and some of them. And this movie falls in the sum of them category. It gets 4.5 stars from me.
Nice. 5 stars from me, Rich.
All right.
I was pretty happy with the experience still.
As I'm pulling up the end things, I want to point out some of the same elements here are in John Carter.
We gave John Carter
4.25 stars overall. Jason being the one lower one at 2.5, meaning meh. And this one comes up to after we're all punched in together, which is a weird 2, 3, 4, 4.5, and 5 as 3.75 stars. So it's almost recommended overall. It's still counted as a good movie. It's definitely a Western.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And it's got cowboys.
Not indicated necessarily by the stars, but it is a Western.
Great tropiness and great actors. And so if you want to enjoy that, enjoy it.
And that is the thing. I think the movie is, like I said, I really do think it's a great popcorn movie, personally. I think it's a really great turn your brain off and enjoy the pretty effects kind of movie. If the base elements don't detract for you, which that could happen with anybody with anything. I think if we want to watch a really more kind of like a Spielberg-y alien type movie with a little more finesse, maybe pick Super 8 might be a fun one to watch. Be a good one to put on a list. I don't know if any of you have seen that one.
I'd still watch Close Encounters any chance you give me. And
I remember when I saw it, when it came out, it was a little bit of a sleeper. I don't know how well it did without looking it up. But I remember thinking at the time, their promotion of it wasn't literally, but it kind of felt like they were saying, this is Spielberg making E.T., but now we're all grown up and dealing with... it's still a movie where the main characters are kids. You know, it's got a little more realistic, but not necessarily gritty. It's still a Spielberg movie. And I think he actually directed that one. So anyway, what's coming up next for us, Vanessa? What do you got on the list?
We've got Lost in Space coming up.
Excellent. That's one you got to be excited about.
Yeah.
That is a relatively reviled film.
Oh, God, I think it'll be fun to watch. It's got terrible overall.
I enjoyed the hell out of it. We'll see how it goes. All right. Love the new series more, though. Okay. Well, going to go ahead and get on out of here today, everybody. Watch Lost in Space for the next show. We'll get on and talk about it. That's what we do. For Richard, for Vanessa, for Jason the Kid, my name is Eric. Everybody have a fantastic week. We'll see you next time.